All right, thanks, guys. Sorry about your mic, man. It wouldn't be re-engaged if we didn't have mic issues. So we'll keep the streak going. Hey, welcome. Come on in, guys. Find a good seat. In a second, I'll introduce you guys to Jonathan Pakluta. But just for some of you guys that don't know, JP is our young adults pastor, so leads a ministry here on Tuesday nights called The Porch, and is kind of one of our top communicators on our staff, and just an all-around just really great guy. And so you'll see here in a second, he's incredibly gifted across a lot of different categories. But one of the things I love about JP is just the way he loves his wife. And there's a great verse in 1 Peter 3:7. It says, "Husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way." And the back end of that verse says, "so that your prayers will not be hindered." And so, you know, not often, but occasionally I'll run into guys who've got, you know, big platform ministries, and they're kind of a big deal, and, you know, people swoon when they talk. And then their marriage is a bit of an afterthought. And so they win in some of these other areas, and then at home they don't. And with JP, for as long as I've known him, if he's convinced that there's a right way, a right answer to love his wife or to obey God in his marriage, it's a done deal. There's no "I'm busy." There's no "I'm a big deal." It's I obey God in this area, and he's been a real challenge to me, and I hope he will be to you. And so tonight he's going to talk about pornography, which is a big deal in all of our relationships, whether we are actively indulging in it or even just the way we keep our thoughts captive or not. Pornography is an issue that really affects all of us. So I hope you listen up and give him your attention. But if you would, please put your hands together and welcome Jonathan Pakluta.
Thanks, buddy. Come on, how we doing tonight? Is my mic on? Good, because I prayed for it. Well, that's one. He said that. That's kind, John, about my marriage. My marriage was a train wreck. That's the truth. And then I met John McGee, and he gave me, I like have lunch with him, and he gives me marriage advice, and it just continues to change things. And that really is the whole story there is, my marriage has been changed through this ministry, through the marriage ministry at Watermark. And so, that's due to his expertise. Everybody gets to be an expert in something. And so he gets to be the expert in marriage, and I get to be the expert on porn. And so that's just the way that kind of, that's just kind of the way that shakes out. I'd trade him if I could, but that's the truth. So it's good to be with you guys. God's doing incredible things through here. I feel like every Tuesday we gather as a staff and like Reengage gets its own little section of time just to talk about the miracles that God is doing. Those have been divorced that get reconciled, and divorce papers getting torn up and used as confetti and all sorts of craziness. And then just some folks who, their house is burning down and no one knows, but they step into the light. And so thank you for the work that you're doing to your marriage, that you're even here, that you showed up. It means that you're doing something. You took at least one step in the right direction. So praise God for that. I got married September 25th, 2004. I remember like it was yesterday. Truett Seminary there on Baylor campus. I married a Baylor Bear, and she is beautiful. She was my best friend's sister. So we were kind of on the DL for a long period of time. And then we stepped in the light ourselves, and we trusted Christ through dating. And so you can imagine we dated as non-believers, and we dated like non-believers date. And then we trusted Christ, and then we tried to date like Christians date. And that was quite the challenge. We needed the Holy Spirit's help in that. But I remember the day. I remember being there. She's beautiful. My bride walks in. This guy's saying some wonderful things about us. We read our vows to each other. We made them up and just told each other how I told her, "I'm going to love you like Christ loved the church and laid his life down for her." And I didn't even know what that meant, but it sounded good up there. And he said, you know, "Say I do, I do, I do. Hey, you may kiss your bride." You know, I kissed my bride, and we walked down that aisle there with about 500 of our closest friends present. And we went in that foyer in the back of Truett Seminary, and I held my bride in my arms, and I said a prayer. And this was the prayer that I said. I remember it. I said, "Lord, thank you so much for this incredible day. Thank you that you allowed me to escape the consequences of my sin." That's what I pray, because I had made it. See, I wasn't supposed to be there, because I was the guy that loved the strip clubs, and I was the guy that had thousands and thousands of images of women who I am not married to who were naked on my computer. at home. I had an internet connection before people had internet connections, just so that I could invite women that I didn't know into my home by way of my computer, so that I could look at them and give myself to them. And so I didn't think I'd get married. I didn't think marriage was available to someone like me. And there I was. It was God's gift to me, and He had allowed me, so I thought, to escape the consequences of my sin. And then I realized, 2 years into marriage, that I didn't escape those consequences. That they came very different. See, the consequences to me were like an STD or some psycho ex-girlfriend waiting to kill me outside. Or a child out of wedlock or something along those nature. But 2 years into marriage, I realized that I was a porn addict and I needed help. And I would have traded you, I would have traded those other consequences. I would have gladly had to take some pill once a day to control my STD. I would have gladly rather write some child support check. I would have gladly rather dodge bullets from some psycho ex than deal with the consequences that I had, because I had no idea how to love a woman. I never had to. All I needed to do to access a woman was to go to www.something. And there I was. And so this is something that's huge for us. Everybody in the room is probably pretty passionate about sex. And so this has impacted you whether you know it or not. If it hasn't impacted you, that's just because you don't know it yet. It's impacted you by way of your children, your children's friends. It's impacted you in your marriage or your neighbor's marriage or someone you love's marriage. And it will have impacted someone at your table tonight. I know it's awkward. So some of you are sweating bullets right now. Don't, you know, if you got to leave during the message because you're overwhelmed, just kind of hold your bladder. We'll think you're going to the restroom or something, and it will all work out. It will be just fine. Okay. And so just sit tight. It'll be over soon enough. And so here's what I want to start with. Is sex was created by God. Duh. You've heard some goofy pastor say that before. Sex was created by God. And I had heard that before. But then I was studying kind of the theology of sex and really marriage and all sorts of things. And the reality of that hit me. And I just started thinking, like, God created this. Okay, here's what that means. Okay, so just let this sink in. It means that He created your part and their part, and He made that part fit that part. Is it awkward yet? And he put those nerve endings where they are, and He made it feel the way that it does, and it moves up to that point that it hits, that it reaches. God did that. And that your body, like, you know, just secretes things. I mean, we're going crazy right now. What am I saying? I don't even know what that's not even a word, so I apologize. So anyways, he did that. That's His design. Like, let that hit you, that God is the creator of sex. And here's His design, one woman and one man for the rest of their life. That's His design. We don't live in that cultural reality. So to kind of start talking about this topic, we've got to get there. That is His first desire. Now, we have royally screwed up His first desire. I know that. I royally messed up His first desire. And so really, for the rest of my life, I'm in repair mode. And it's okay, because God's a big God. And He can repair things. And He's repairing things in my life. But we've got to start that most of us, the vast majority in the room, have royally messed up His desire, His grand design for our lives and the way that this would work. And the reason that that's so important is because God's design, as I started to study and try to gain a theology on sex, and then specifically just this topic of pornography, I realized that there's this thing that psychiatrists and psychologists call sex glue. This is literally what they call it. They call it sex glue. And what it is in the act of orgasm, your brain creates a synapse that literally bonds you to your surroundings. Did you hear what I said? That in the act of sex with someone, or really just the act of orgasm, maybe by yourself, that your brain creates a synapse. It creates this thing almost like a muscle, okay, in your head that bonds your senses, sight, smell, touch, okay, sound. It bonds you to your surroundings. There's all sorts of crazy things stories that happen around this idea of sex glue, but it is a real phenomenon, okay? And now, so consider this, that God would create you for one person, one man, that He would make you for one man, that He would make you for one woman, and that as you guys come together, and as you guys have sex, and you experience the gift that God has given us, Okay. Then as your brain would create that synapse, that you would be bond for this reason, he says in the scripture, a man would leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two would become one flesh. See, God knew this way before psychiatrists and psychologists figured this out. It's his design that as you would experience release in that way, that you would bond to your spouse and two would become one. What this also means that as their body changes, as their face changes, as they go from 25 to 35 to 55 to 75 years old, that your body is continuing to bond to one person, that they would be, they would exist as the epitome of beauty for you. This is science by God's design. This is the science of sex. Now imagine with me for a moment what happens when you introduce pornography, as many of us have. You treat your brain, you train your brain to bond to variety. You train your brain not to bond. You train your brain to bond to parts. You stare at specific parts, parts of the male or parts of the female, so that when you see those parts in different people have those bonds. In fact, the psychologist, if you go to a secular psychologist and you're struggling with adultery or infertility in your marriage, or you're struggling with sex, specifically a sex therapist, not even a Christian counselor, what they would say, and I'm not prescribing this to you, I'm just saying this to hit home on this point, they would say that during orgasm, look your spouse in the eyes so that you don't bond to a part, so that when you see someone with that part, that you would lust after that part. But look them in the eyes, because their face, it's like a fingerprint. They're the only ones with it. And so that they would continue to be, this is how secular science says to heal from sexual addiction. How crazy is that? This is God's design, that one man and one woman would be married forever, for the rest of their life. This is the, this is the science of sex, and really the science of pornography. They did a lot of studies to find out if porn is addicted. That's silly. They could have just asked me, and I could have told them. I mean, I meet with hundreds, maybe thousands of young adults who just can't stop. They just can't. And so that's where I spend a lot of my time, and it is absolutely, I'll just tell you that my story is spotted past. I told you I trusted Christ later. I've done cocaine, ecstasy, smoked marijuana, drank every day of my life for a season. Nothing has gripped me like pornography. All those other things I could quit, not porn. I could not shake it for a long time. I eventually found victory, and we'll talk about that. And so let's define porn. Porn is defined in Webster's as obscene writings, drawings, or photographs, or the like. It really comes from two Greek words, porneia and grapho. Porneia is sexual immorality. Grapho means to write down. And so that's where we get the word pornography. I'll define it for you just so you understand what we're talking about for the short remainder of our time, is fantasizing about anyone that you are not married to. Okay, this is how the Bible defines this particular sin. You fantasizing, thinking about someone, about anyone that you are not married to. And so here's why we're talking about it tonight, is because 70% of the men in this room tonight, 70% of you men have probably looked at porn this week. That's what statistics would say. Okay, so maybe you're like out there, and is this in your struggle? You're like, why are we talking about it? And he's saying these words that are making it really uncomfortable. Well, the reason we're talking about it is because it affects 70% of the men in this room. It's about half of the internet connectivity. Half of the internet is used to look at porn, and 1 in 3 viewers are women. So about a third of the problem is women. And so it affects both men and women. It affects you differently, but it affects both of you. And so this is why this is important. And so it's all of these things, you know, it's you fantasizing about someone you're not married to. And so it includes things like 50 Shades of Grey. Okay. It includes things like your romance novels. It can even include your romantic comedies. Okay. And so you know where your mind's going. It's you thinking about anyone that you're not married to. And so I'll define it for you now like this. It's sin. In every situation, in every circumstance, it dishonors God. And you just need to know that, because you're going to leave here and you're going to try to justify it. And so there's not a situation where pornography is not sin. I don't care if your spouse is okay with it. Frankly, it's even worse for your marriage if your spouse is okay with it. This thing is killing your marriage. Whether you know it or not, it's killing your marriage. No one in the history of marriage has said, hey, my marriage is better because of pornography. Okay, if they are, they just haven't found out the truth yet. No one in the history of the world since the beginning of creation has had a better marriage because of pornography. It has never happened. And so pornography is sin in every situation. I live to justify the sin. I even called a pastor and I said, hey, is it okay if my wife is okay with it? What if we look at it together? Is that okay? It's foolishness. That's why it was hurting me so much. Anything that I could do, anything that I could say to justify it. And so it's you fantasizing about anyone that you are not married to. This is you wondering what color her bra is. This is you wondering what it's like to be married to him. Okay? This is the beginning of this sin taking root in your life, or the process of this sin owning you and costing your marriage. Jesus says, I tell you, Matthew 5:28, but I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so he puts this on par with adultery. And so as I said, this is killing your marriage. I told you about that foolish prayer that I prayed, that porn killed my marriage long before my marriage even happened. Before I even met my wife, porn was hurting my marriage. Before I even knew who she was, before I ever thought about the altar or the place that we would be married, porn was hurting my marriage. And then I lived in the reality of that, and I wanted out. I mean, I was like throwing the divorce word around, like, man, I can't do this. I don't know how to love you. And it's a whole lot easier just to get on the computer and to work that out. And so I was realizing the naivety of that prayer that I said earlier. And so let's talk about why porn kills your marriage. The side effects of porn. The first one is pretty obvious. You see it or hear about it. You've seen a commercial about it. It's sexual dysfunction. Okay? It's erectile dysfunction in men. In women, it becomes a little more interesting. They start associating pornography with love. Their brain is rewired. They actually start to think more like the male anatomy does. And that's what porn does, is it changes your identity. It really is as powerful. I mean, as powerful as any drug I know out there. Because it's a natural drug by God's design. In fact, a lot of drugs just actually release more of what sex releases, what God has designed for sex to release. That's how drugs function. And so you see this sexual dysfunction happening where the normal is no longer the normal. And so the way that I describe that is the second side effect of pornography is an unnatural appetite. To be satisfied, you have to go outside the boundaries that God has created. And so normal, there is no normal anymore. Now it takes the extraordinary to satisfy you. And then sooner or later, the extraordinary no longer has to satisfy you. And you have to just go all out to the bizarre. And it's actually a category of porn. Some of you know that. Bizarre. And so that is just this kind of unnatural appetite. You really kind of become an animal where you just think about it all the time. And you need it and you want it, and to function, it's like your morning coffee. To function normally, I just got to have it. It's got to be a part of my life. And then the last side effect is this thing they call life numbness. Psychologists call life numbness. It's also known as depression. It's very, very real and very, very closely associated with porn. What it means is the normal joys of life are no longer joyful. Porn, though, on the other hand, is all the more joyful. So porn becomes more and more exciting and this thing that you need, and the normal joys of life are no longer exciting. And so you can think about this. You're driving along on a beautiful day in a beautiful scene. It's a fall day. The leaves are changing colors. You're driving along on the side of this road. I think we have a picture to help you out. And so you see all of the colors. It's pretty. There's a park bench there. Maybe there's a lake nearby. And on a normal day, and so I actually read this from someone, a psychologist who wrote about the porn shows that they saw. On a normal day, you would breathe in. You would inhale. You would see all of this. If you have a relationship with Christ, you would accredit it to God. You would say, God, thank you for this beautiful day. You would feel close to him, and you'd kind of take all of this in. For the porn addict, for the person, you know, it's just simply not porn. Everything just kind of fades to gray, and it's not beautiful anymore. It just is. Really, it's just not porn. And that is the most vivid and accurate description that I can give you, both from my own personal experiences and from the hundreds, maybe thousands of people that I meet with. They find life in porn and life in nothing else. Hopefully this describes the believer about Jesus, that we'd find life in him and nothing else. We'd find life in him and nothing else. And so let's talk about for a second What if my spouse is looking at porn? What if I'm married to someone? Because a lot of you are, whether you know it or not. And what if my spouse is, and so that's a good question tonight, you know, hey, how are you doing? And stay tuned, we're going to help you out. But what if my spouse is looking at porn? One, be understanding. It's like, okay, how do I do that? I want to be understanding. How do I be understanding? Let me say this. It's totally okay to feel hurt. It's completely okay to feel betrayed. It's okay to feel like you've been cheated on. It's okay to feel like you're a victim and something has happened to you and someone's done wrong to you. It's okay to be hurt. But I want you to hear this. Hurt people, and it's not okay to hurt people. Okay? So you can feel that, but don't lash out. Don't take it out. Don't double the offense by turning back on them. Okay? That's not what Jesus did to you. He took all your crap and put it on the cross. Okay? He took all that stuff and he paid the price for it. Okay? And so you continue to fix your eyes and your mind on what you've done, what Christ has done for you. And it's okay to be hurt. But remember, hurt people, and it's not okay to hurt people. And I want you to know this. I want you to hear this, because don't email me and you can say, well, you made me feel like it was my fault. I want you to hear this. It's not your fault. So just in case, you already type in the email. It's not your fault. You hear me? It's not your fault. Okay, it's not your fault. But now, this may sound like it's going to contradict that. Now, consider how you can be a more available lover. Okay, it's not your fault. You didn't cause it. I don't think you did anything wrong. I don't know your particular situation. But you are a part of the solution. Okay, that's the crazy thing. You're the part of the God-given solution. And so what's really difficult is when someone who struggles with smoking is told to quit smoking. And by the way, you can't have any nicotine gum. Okay, like I need you to quit that, and you're not getting any of this. It becomes really, really difficult. And so it's hard because I feel hurt and betrayed. And you know what? You want me to do that with her or with him? And I mean, how? Talk through it. You got to invite others into that process. Don't do it alone, okay? I'm telling you, do not go through this alone. Ask how you can help. It's a great question. How did we get here? I hate what you did, but I want to know how we got here, and how can I help you not do this anymore for the rest of your life? How can I help you never go there again? How can I help you? Hey, we're pursuing oneness. We're in this thing together. We said that till death do us part. I said till death do us part, not till you look at porn, right? I didn't stand up there with preacher man and say, hey, until you cheat on me. And I said till death do us part, for better or worse, sickness and health, right? Rich, poor, till death. So here we are. So how do we get through it? Because I'm not going to accept just our marriage being terrible for the rest of the rest. I know you're not accepting that because you're here. And so ask how you can help. And then lastly, and very importantly, invite community into the struggle. What I mean by community, because I know some of you are not here. Just like you need a small group. You need others who know Christ. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you need others who say, hey, I'm a follower of Jesus. And you need to tell them. The scripture calls it walking in the light. You just got to drag that. You say, hey, I can't go at this alone. And I'm telling you, like, so if you're here and you're like, man, I'm going to go at this alone. Here's what that means. You're going to struggle with porn for the rest of your life to the day you die. I'm going to go at it alone. No, you're going to look at porn alone for the rest of your life. That's the truth. Okay. I wish I could tell you I know of an exception. I don't. How many people do I meet with that struggle with this? Hundreds, maybe thousands. Okay. So that's just the hard reality there. What does healing look like? Okay, so we're going to get to the practical. You can write this down if you can, or maybe we'll email it to you, or maybe somebody in your group has written it down. And so here's just some steps to healing, okay? So you're here, you're like, man, I struggle with porn. And you really need to get, everybody needs to get this. Like, man, porn, dude, what? This is wasted on me. Like, I don't struggle. This is how you can help somebody else, your children maybe, okay? Or someone going on, but this is what healing looks like. Number one, confession, right? You confess. Hey, you confess every time. You keep short accounts. When it happens, you bring it to the light. James 5:16, right? Says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I want to be healed. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And so we confess this every single time. And so the first time is usually, it's really, really difficult. And people say, well, the first time is the hardest. No, actually, sometimes the second time is the hardest. So I confessed it once, and then I thought I'd never look at it again, and then I did it again, and it's really going to be hard for me to go back and look at them in the face and say I did this again. But you confess. Who do you confess to? You confess to your spouse. You confess to other people who are willing to go to battle with you. So confess it. Secondly, you pray. You pray. Okay. I'm just going to get real raw with you here. You're like, you hadn't been raw with this? Hold on. You've got to pray honest prayers. God can handle it. He was there when you looked at that thing that you weren't supposed to look at. So when I prayed, like, man, my prayers were really, they were X-rated. Like, they were really nasty prayers. Okay? I mean, they were NC-17 prayers. I mean, they looked like this. God, I'm going to ride an elevator with someone of the opposite sex, and I don't want to mentally rape them in my mind. Father, I don't want to know. I don't want to wonder if her bra matches her panties. God, I don't want to think about that. Lord, would you help me? God, I'm a pervert. Would you help me not be a pervert, God? Father, you got to help me. I don't want to look at her in the eyes and then chest and then eyes and then chest. I just don't want to do that anymore. God, would you help me? He can handle it, man. You ask me, like, what's the secret sauce? Like, how did you get well? Like, I think that was really, really key. Is every single day I woke up and I just said, God, I need you to heal me because I'm a messed up. And sometimes people are like, man, well, how long will I struggle? Well, how long have you struggled? Because for me, it was decades. Decades. And I wanted to be healed instantly. And I mean, God can. I mean, he's that big, right? But more times than not, it takes a battle, a war to be waged. And so he was patient with me for decades. I need to be patient with him. Confess, pray. Thirdly, remove access. You remove access. If your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, right? If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. So you remove access. Okay, how are you? So the question looks like, how do you access porn? Okay, well, remove access. Get rid of the computer. You can put Covenant Eyes on there. Triple X Church. You remove access. I don't care if you have to move. I don't care what you have to do. And people were like, that's legalistic. I'm like, Jesus was legalistic evidently because he said, gouge out your eye. Cut off your hand. That's from Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah of the world. He said, gouge out your eye. I'm just saying, dude, quit your job or get rid of your computer or whatever you got to do. You know? I'm not even going to go there with you. Gouge out your eye. That's crazy. That's crazy talk. It's not crazy talk, though. You know? This is the one that people have the most struggle with. Why? Because we love it. Man, there's only one reason people look at porn, because they want to. That's it. It's not complicated. Why do you look at porn? Because I want to. And so how are you going to teach me not to want to? I can't teach you not to want to overnight, but I can make it really, really difficult for you. And so don't stop with the excuse. Well, I get around the filters. Okay. But still have them. Okay. Stop making the excuses. Right. Just do it. Remove access. How do you access porn? Well, remove access. Sin grows when it's fed. This is a simple kind of law of the harvest in the scriptures in Galatians 5:8. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the spirit from the spirit will reap eternal life. And so, let me just say it like this. It shrinks when it's starved and it grows when it's fed. The scripture says the enemy roars around, roams around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. And so when you feed that lion, he hangs out. When you start to starve that lion, he goes and jacks with somebody else. It's that simple. I mean, it's really, that's what happens. And so you begin to starve this thing, it's going to diminish, I promise you. You feed this thing, it's going to grow, I promise you. God promises you from the scripture. So start to starve it. Then pursue your spouse. Confess, pray, remove access, pursue your spouse. 1 Corinthians 7:9 says, for it's better to marry than to burn with passion. Your spouse is your outlet. So you love your spouse. What does it mean? What do I mean by pursue your spouse? Ask them for sex. No, you pursue them in such a way so that they would want to have sex with you. Okay, I don't care if that means washing the dishes, cleaning the house. I know it's not as easy as www. But that's your outlet. So you start pursuing your spouse. Remember, that's the only outlet you got. It's the only one. It's your only option. Because your body, I need sexual release. Great, you better start loving your bride or loving your husband then. Okay? Because that's the only outlet God allows. And so start having honest conversations with what that looks like. And that might say, well, how often do you need it? I mean, maybe that's where you start with the conversation. I don't know. But you pursue your spouse. Okay? And then lastly, and most importantly, you pursue Jesus. My favorite quote of all time is this: there's no greater way to overcome sin than to find a superior satisfaction in Jesus. that went from like my least favorite quote to my favorite quote. The first time I heard it, I'm like, oh, what does that mean? No greater way to overcome sin than find superior. And then I lived it because there was this billboard on 635 that I gave myself every day to when I would drive home from work. Okay. Every single day I would gawk. It was right over this like adult bookstore, and there was this woman wearing next to nothing on this billboard. And every day I'd drive home. I worked in telecom, and I'd drive down 635, and I'd drive by that billboard. And it was like the dessert to the ending of my day. I'd just look at her and just think about her and wonder what that was like. You know, just all these awful things in my mind. And then I met Jesus, and I began to fall in love with Jesus. And I, like, relationship with Jesus, I had no idea what that meant. What does it mean, a relationship with Jesus? What does that even mean? I can't even see Jesus. How do I have a relationship with him? I started to have a relationship with Jesus. And one day I was driving down that 635 billboard, and I drove by it, and I was just like, it's not worth it. Man, I don't want anything to compromise this. Man, I've been doing good with Jesus, you know. I've been experiencing life abundantly because Christ came so that you may have life and have it to the full. It's John 10:10. I don't want anything to compromise my relationship with Christ. I'm not going to look at that billboard. So you confess, you pray, you remove access, you pursue your spouse, you pursue Christ. Okay, last verse, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18 says, flee from sexual immorality. It's porneia. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Jesus took nails in his hands and his feet for your porn struggle, okay? Forgiveness is yours. He'll make you new. He's ready to embrace you. He loves you. He's not even angry with you. The scripture says if you trusted in him, he's no longer counting your sins against you. Romans 8:1 says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Okay? He's crazy about you. He loves you. Crazy about you. All right? You pursue him. Let me tell you something. If you're pursuing Jesus, you're running from porn. That's just the truth. If you're running to Jesus, you're running from porn. So run to Jesus. Let me pray that you would. God, thank you for the men and the women in this room that they ventured down a journey that brought them to an altar where they stood before you and made a covenant with you that they would love each other for the rest of their lives. If it was only that easy, God, we need your spirit. We need your help. Sometimes we don't like the person we're with. Sometimes we hate them. I'm just honest. And God, sometimes it's just not easy. Pornography's easy, God. It's such an easy shortcut the world offers us. Lord, help us to hold out. We're going to be with you forever soon. We're going to be with you in your kingdom soon. In all the fullness of your glory soon. And we're going to get to enjoy forever the things that we've stored up there with you soon. And so, God, we know that no temptation has seized us except what is common to men, and that you're faithful. And that you won't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. And that when we are, that you'll provide a way out so that we can stand up under it. And so, God, we're asking you to do that supernaturally when we're tempted, to provide a way out so that we stand up under it. Lord, we love you. We thank you for Christ. I pray that right now that your spirit, if your spirit indwells in someone right now, Lord, that you would give them the confidence, the courage, that they would tenaciously raise their hand tonight and say, I'm a porn addict. I'm done. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I want to get well. Man, I got a problem, and I'm done. I'm so done. We love you, God. Amen. It's been years since I've actively sought out porn. I thought I'd tell you that for no other reason. I boast only in the cross. It's God's work in my life. So it went from every single day, and I tell you, it's been years since I've looked at porn or masturbated, and I never thought that would happen. And the problem wasn't married. Like, it only got worse when I got married. And then the Lord has given me healing. So I pray that he would for you too. And it starts with you raising your hand, okay? All right. Thank you, guys.